coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to Film Room. I'm Adam Kaplan. He's NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell. Greg, we're looking at the drafted running backs here, and it's an interesting group. And every year we hear fans and some of the media, and sometimes I'm guilty of it, hey, you know, you don't take a running back in the first round. You take them later because they're sort of the same throughout the draft. But you study this tape, Greg. Isn't that a myth?
To some degree, absolutely. And there's different schools of thought. It depends on the offense you run. Now, if you're going to build your offense around the running game, and we know the quarterback's the most important position. We all get that.
That's why they get paid the most.
Right, right. And you need the great quarterback, obviously. But if you're going to build your offense around the run game, then you need a good back. It's that simple. And you can't say, well, we can wait till the fifth round to get that back. You know, if you're talking about an Eddie Lacy back, for instance, and I like Eddie Lacy, and we'll get to him. Eddie Lacy's a very good back. The back you get in the fifth round is not going to be as good as Eddie Lacy.
That's the point.
Now,
right.
Again, it depends what you're going to do with your offense. Because it's always easy to say you can get running backs anywhere until you need to run the ball. Ask the Detroit Lions about that.
Yes.
So these abstract comments, there's some merit to them, no question. But you got to be careful about taking that too far. Theoretically, you could get any position. It's offensive guard, okay? We've got two very good offensive guards in this draft, but you know what? You could theoretically get offensive guards anywhere. So does that mean you'd never draft guys? You have to draft really good players.
Exactly. Now, when we look at the running back position, one of the guys who's most intriguing is Marcus Lattimore. Unfortunately, Lattimore's had a couple serious knee injuries and surgeries, but things are progressing for him. We don't really know what it's going to be for him in the National Football League as far as when he'll be ready.
Yeah.
But you've seen his tape. What do you see?
See, to me, he's the ultimate sustainer, the ultimate move the chains back. He's not a burner, which to me is the least important thing to be a successful NFL back is when people say, oh, 40 times. That's irrelevant. This kid is a move the chains runner. He moves the pile. He's got great downhill vision, great downhill instincts. I thought when I saw him as a freshman, when he came to South Carolina, I thought this kid had everything you look for in a foundation back in the NFL. Now, we don't know if that's ever going to happen, but I really like Marcus Lattimore. And again, it's pre-injury Marcus Lattimore.
Now, I would think the best running back in the draft is Eddie Lacy from Alabama. I've seen three games from this kid. I think he could do it all, and I think he's a little bit underrated as a pass receiver out of the backfield. No one really gives him credit for that. Greg, what do you see on tape?
I think he's underrated overall. And believe it or not, I've spoken to some people who I respect greatly and who really study running backs who like him more than Trent Richardson.
Wow. That's
so
saying a lot.
That's saying a lot.
You like Richardson.
I loved
out.
Richardson, yeah. Okay? Yeah. I'm not sure I'm ready to go there, but Lacy is really – I think in this draft, given Marcus Lattimore's situation, I think Lacy is clearly the best – maybe, I don't want to say the only, because Le'Veon Bell is too, but he's the best foundation back in this league, in this draft. The best back in terms of you can give him the ball anywhere, depending on the game, 15, 18, 22 times, and he can be very effective for you. He's powerful. He's got good lateral movement. He's not, again, a burner, but he has speed. So I think all the elements you look for in a foundation back, Eddie Lacy brings to the table.
Now, an interesting running back here from North Carolina. In fact, North Carolina's got a bunch of good players available for this draft. Is Giovanni Bernard. And, Greg, when I see this kid, he's not real big.
No.
But he's a guy I think moves pretty well. What have you seen?
Yeah, he's a quick, slashing, gliding type back. I wouldn't say he's got tremendous lateral explosion. He's more of a fluid glider as opposed to a make-you-miss guy. The one issue you face with him, there's no real power to him whatsoever. So, again, I think ultimately he's a guy you use in tandem with someone else. He's not your feature back, but he's a very good pass receiver. And I think that's a really important element in today's NFL, and that's why I think he has value in this draft.
Now, when you look at prototypical size backs, Le'Veon Bell from Michigan State is that guy. 6'1", 230. Greg, what have you seen?
Light feet, too. Very light feet. The only other true foundation back, again, putting Marcus Lattimore aside, in this draft other than Eddie Lacy, light feet, I remember when the Jets traded up a few years ago to get Sean Green. Okay, and it's easy to look at Sean Green now, but when he came out, there were people who thought he was a feature back in this league. I think Bell's better. I think he's got lighter feet. I think he's quicker. And again, he's going to be a very interesting litmus. And you can watch him move right here. This, look at this kid move. He's 230 pounds. This kid moves extremely.
Yeah, he doesn't look 230.
And by the way, no, he does not.
He does not at
he
all.
He does not look 230, and that's what he is. And he's actually a pretty good pass receiver. He's going to be a very interesting litmus test to where the league is now in how they view running backs. Because he's a guy 15, 20 years ago would have been a first-round pick in a heartbeat because teams built their offenses around running the football. I don't believe he'll be a first-round pick in this draft, but he has the ability to be a guy that you structure your offense around and you start with him as a runner.
All right, now staying inside the Big Ten, we've got Monte Ball from Wisconsin.
Right.
You've seen him. I've felt that he's a good inside runner, power guy. What have you seen?
He's smooth. I think Monte Ball is a very smooth gliding back, not purely powerful. He's about 215 pounds. But I think he has some strength to him, but he's not going to run over people. But he has a nice ability and can find spaces to get through holes at the point of attack. A little wiggle to him, you know, not great wiggle, but enough wiggle to be an effective make-you-miss runner. Mm-hmm. And he's proven to be a volume runner his last 2 years at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. He's been a volume runner. So I think Monte Ball, again, I'm not sure he's going to be seen as a guy you can build your offense around, even though he was that at Wisconsin.
Now, at the Senior Bowl, I saw Andre Ellington out of Clemson,
yeah.
And I liked him, but here's my issue. I don't know how he fits in at the next level. Is he a lead back?
No.
Two? What do you see?
No, he's not a lead back.
Okay.
So I think, therefore, he becomes a satellite player. And again,
explain that. What is a satellite player?
A satellite player means that you can use him all over the formation. You can line him up in the backfield. You can shift him. You can motion
Reggie
him.
Reggie Bush type guy?
Yeah. I'm not sure he's quite as good as Reggie Bush in that sense, but I think ultimately Andre Ellington fits that category more. He's not going to be a lead back in the National Football League.
Kenyon Barner, another guy who seems to be in that size of Ellington.
Yeah, and Barner, again, that Oregon offense is so good at creating gaps in the middle of the defense that you see a lot of straight line downhill running. I like Barner. I think he's got a lot of wiggle to him. He's got great quickness, great lateral agility, but again, not a feature back. See, we have a lot of these backs that are coming out this year who have a lot of lateral agility, explosiveness, can get on the perimeter. We're talking Barnard, we're talking Ellington, we're talking now Kenyon Barner. Where will these guys be drafted? What's their value in the NFL? Because if they play 20, 25 snaps a game, maybe 30 snaps a game, again, this gets to the argument we started with. Are these guys somewhat interchangeable? Can you get these guys in the third, fourth round? My guess is you probably can.
That's probably where they're going to go.
Right.
Now, one of my favorite backs for this draft is Jonathan Franklin from UCLA, and he's an interesting guy, and our good friend John Pollard from Stats tells us that best running back available for this draft,
right,
running after contact. Is that what you saw on tape?
He's a tough kid. See, here's a kid who walks that fine line between possibly being a foundation back because he's a tough inside runner. And I think, again, a kid that has really good quickness. He can get to the perimeter, as we see. This is a Senior Bowl shot, but he's not necessarily a burner. So he doesn't have that he's got short area burst, but not the top
not
end
long.
Speed.
Right.
And again, that's not the be-all and end-all, but he doesn't have that. But I think he walks that fine line. Does someone see him as a potential guy they could use? And again, when I say feature back, he's not going to carry 380, 400 times.
Right.
But is he a guy that could carry 15, 16, 17 times a game? I think some teams will view him that way.
Great job out of you, Greg. He's the aforementioned Greg Cosell. I'm Adam Kaplan. Keep watching us inside the film room.
They could use an interception. They could use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him.
A-